If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Second half of the program begins right now. We are on the road. Fast Talking Rob running things from the Rally House Studios. We are at Hen House, my home Hen House, 11721 Row Ave. If you want a GPS, great spot for you to come down and get your lunch. I'd advise you to come get lunch here. Their Mongolian Grill, one of my absolute, maybe my favorite restaurant around. I think I probably eat at the Mongolian Grill here at Hen House more than any other restaurant in Kansas City because of how easy it is to get in and out and in here shopping, buying everything. It's a great, great store. Their delicatessen is out of this world. And that's kind of the star of the show today. We're reminding you those holidays are coming up. Cold weather should have you thinking that way. And you can let Hen House do all the cooking for you. Unbelievable grade A top shelf meals that you can get from the prime rib feast, the deluxe feast to come in and feed a whole family, or even the prime rib dinner for two, holiday dinner for two. They've got it all. Great sides, Tippins pies, you know, your Tippins pies. If you're going to do the cooking, if that's one of the things that you really love about the holidays is doing the cooking, well, then make sure you at least get your order in for Tippins pies. I got to have a great pie to finish things off. Got to have multiple pies, multiple desserts. And they've got them at your neighborhood Hen House, 11 locations around the metro. Go to henhouse.com to find the one closest to you. And at each one of the Hen Houses, you can also get a $5 coupon for all the haunted houses. Edge of Hell, The Beast, Macabre Cinema, $5 off. It is a great tradition here in Kansas City, the haunted houses. Get your coupon right here at your neighborhood Hen House. Let's get the two-minute drill going. We'll start in Baltimore, Maryland. Glenn Clark from Glenn Clark Radio is up first. Glenn, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. No big deal. We didn't have a food wrap today, and you're just sitting there talking about everything like that. No, it's cool, Saran. No worries at all. I'm not salivating at all and now wanting to rush off this phone call to go get lunch. So no big deal at all. I appreciate it.
Don't kid yourself. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to be headed over to the Mongolian Grill and be crushing
that.
Yeah,
that sounds really
very
good.
Very shortly. Yes, it's great. Awesome. It's absolutely awesome. All right, tell me, what's the thoughts? The Ravens are back. They get a big win against the Dolphins, and now everything's fixed?
No, not a chance of that. It is real weird, Saran. This is the NFL, right, where a team can lose 44-7 to the Jaguars, look completely incompetent in London, and a few weeks later when they've lost 4 out of 5, beat the Dolphins 40-0 because nobody's good. Maybe the Chiefs are good. I know you guys are dealing with that. They've lost 2 in a row, but nobody's good. Mm-hmm. So these weird things happen. Look, it was a great performance, the run defense. If you take anything from last night, the Ravens' run defense should never have been ranked 32nd in the NFL. That was insane. They spent way too much money on that side of the ball, draft picks on that side of the ball, to be that bad against the run. They did a great job against Jay Ajayi and containing the edge. So if there's anything that you take from last night, I think that certainly you can assume that the Ravens' run defense is better than it had been, and perhaps that's a sign of them getting that turned around.
And Joe Flacco concussed and out. Any early prognosis, and how do they look without him?
Yeah, this is one's rough, Saran. The good news is that they have 10 days, obviously, before they play again. They've got one more game before the bye. They play Tennessee next Sunday. He had to get stitches. He was bleeding from the ears. Everybody saw the hit. It was brutal from Kiko Alonso. Nothing that we know yet. This is a concussion protocol situation, so we know how that works. We're going to need a few days. I think they're optimistic. That was the sense that I kind of got, is that they're optimistic that Joe could get back out on the field. There was some talk about, hey, maybe are you just better off letting him sit for a week and then having the bye after that. I don't believe the Ravens or Joe Flacco would ever be okay. If he can be cleared, he's going to play next week. If for whatever reason he can't be, you would expect that they are going to turn things over to Ryan Mallett. And you saw that Ryan Mallett, look, you know, this guy is a guy that has some skills and, you know, has some demons as well. He did not do anything last night that made you think that he definitely should be a starting quarterback in the NFL anywhere. He's still erratic. There's arm strength, but there is not accuracy. They would look to do the same things. They're going to want to run the ball next week. Alex Collins was tremendous last night, had his best game as a pro. They're going to try to run the ball if he has to play, and they're going to ask him to do very little, but you still don't feel good about that. And in fairness, somebody would point out, you haven't felt very good the way that Joe Flacco has been playing this season. The offense has been a disaster. The offensive line is in shambles. The receivers aren't very good. The offense has largely been a mess, but it doesn't change much if Ryan Mallett ends up playing next Sunday.
All right, tell me, has anything changed with the status of Manny Machado with the Baltimore Orioles? Are they going to look to move him as we get closer and closer to the offseason getting started?
Yeah, we've been talking about that a lot, Seren. They are really playing this close to the vest, and the assumption that we've gotten is they're going to hold on, they're going to go one more year. The talk is that they're going to be willing to spend a little bit to get into the pitching market, but you know, I don't think that gets them Jake Arrieta. I don't think they're spending that type of money in the pitching market. So they want to try again next year to win, so there is no reason to think they're looking right now to move Manny Machado. I think they are more inclined to see what happens between now and July 31st to make a move then. Obviously, as you know, that means he's depreciating in value in the process, and that's the bummer there. But it appears more and more as though they're going to go the direction of let's try one more time next season with Manny Machado. Adam Jones' contract up at the end of the year. Zach Britton's contract's up at the end of the year. They want to go for one more run with those guys. And if they fall flat, then they make those considerations at July 31st. Otherwise, they just dig in and see what they can do. I think it's a questionable strategy, but it looks like the one they're going to use.
All right, Glenn Clark in Baltimore. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate the time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Seren. You too, man.
Talk to JMV, 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis, Indiana. JMV, how are you, buddy?
Sorry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Are the Irish for real, or do we get a wake-up call from the Wolfpack of North Carolina State?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I mean, I look at the rest of the schedule here, and having watched Stanford play last night, kind of knock around in Fort Valles, I'm thinking maybe that that's going to be the toughest matchup they have remaining on the schedule. They still have a little bit of hope. I tell you what, for a lot of those fans out there, Seren, that wanted to see Brian Kelly get punted, no pun intended here, and wanted to see somebody else in there, this is going to damage their whole argument here with the way this team has played. They have been pretty good. I mean, they have been pretty good at the quarterback position. You saw it last week when they made help USC. I think that they'll get past North Carolina State, but this might end up being, you know, the toughest left of the schedule. I'm even considering Miami in that part of the equation as well.
Yeah. So a big game for the Irish and a huge game for Dave Doran, the head coach at NC State, who's a local guy. So a big game all around there. Tell me, no more big games for Andrew Luck this year, right? And any fear about his health long term?
I hope not. Here's the deal. I'm really selfish on this, just because I want to see him play at some point at the end of the season. And I have said this, and everybody is basically my opposition. I have said, I don't care the circumstances. I don't care if the last game, I don't care if the last half, last quarter. They're planning for something, they're planning for nothing. Whenever he's healthy and is cleared, if that does take place, they need to trot him out there. Chuck Pagano kind of mirrored those comments that I made a couple of days ago, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This, to me, is the second setback that he has had. I was told he had a setback going back at the end of training camp, you know, right at the start of the season, Seren, when they decided to go out. And really, there was no big blueprint strategy there. That was just an old crap kind of moment to go out and get Jacoby Brissett. Because I think that was the point in time they found out that, well, Andrew Luck wasn't going to be ready, at least for the first month of the season. And then it's been pushed back even more so right now. So it looks like a mess. And, you know, even though Chris Ballard never put a timetable on it, Jim Irsay did, and you got a lot of fans around here really kind of not understanding the lack of transparency on it. Therefore, you've got some problems, at least with the court of public opinion around here in Indianapolis. But, yeah, I don't care. Listen, you can't put him in bubble wrap or in a glass case. Whenever he's ready to play, I don't care the circumstances, he needs to play. I just don't know any longer if he's even going to get that chance. And, by the way, he played in a meaningless game last year for this team to beat Jacksonville to go 8-8. And that was all on him. He's the one that wanted to play. So, to me, he's also going to want to play when and if he is going to be cleared. That's the bigger question, I think, down the stretch run of the season.
All right, and I agree. And Chuck Pagano's future, there were reports out there that he was going to be fired last week. Obviously, that didn't come to fruition. Is it a foregone conclusion he's not going to be back next year, or no? Is he still got a shot?
Yeah, he wasn't going to be back next year when they decided to bring him back and fired Ryan Grigson back at the end of January, early February this year. I mean, he's basically he's the punching bag. I mean, he's the punching bag for the entire year. There's no greater definition of lame duck. I actually like Chuck Pagano. Around here, all I've done is rave about how in the world he is still the head coach. It astounds me that he is still the head coach. And even through last Sunday, because this is the franchise that is really worried about the fan interest. The fan interest now and moving forward, the image of the team. And I said this, I hate midseason firings in the NFL as head coach, but I think it is worse for this franchise to hold on to Chuck and continue to try him out there with this product than it is to look even more messed up by firing your coach midseason. I was shocked that it wasn't done on Monday. I'm shocked that we're going into Sunday in Cincinnati with Chuck Pagano, the head coach. And I don't dislike him at all. I just think it would be better for everybody in this equation. Fans, organization, Chuck. I mean, we've just come to the end of the line on this. And there comes a point in time when you got to stop the fight. And he can no longer be that punching bag. And I think that we're well past that mark right now.
JMV and Indy, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. You too, buddy.
Kevin Rogers, WQAM in Miami, Florida's next. K-Rodge, how are you?
Doing very well, Soren. How are you?
Well, I better than Joe Flacco. Tell me, what's the view from Miami of the hit Kiko Alonso put on Joe Flacco?
You know, I think it's a little torn simply because, you know, the opinion of several people, it's not just Dolphin fans, I think it's just in general saying that, you know, Flacco probably slid a little bit late and then, you know, it just looked like a brutal hit from Kiko Alonso. The problem is this, that you can't stop physics. And I'm not defending the hit, but, you know, when these guys are going to make a tackle, you can't just assume that Joe Flacco is going to slide for the first down. You know, you got to think that, you know, he's probably still going to keep on running. And then at the last second, when he put that, 6'8" frame decides to slide and you at the same time are going to try to hit him, and look what happens. There's that collision. It was very ugly last night. But at the same time, it's just a tough thing. And I understand the NFL's got to protect the quarterbacks, but, you know, what are you supposed to do with them when, you know, you ask them not to hit, and if they end up running the end zone, well, you don't want me to hit them. So I think that was kind of the issue with that last night.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think quarterbacks have got to be instructed that they have to get down earlier. If you're going to, quote-unquote, give yourself up, you don't get a fight for every inch. You got to get down. But it was. It was still the blow to the head is still a problem. But I'm with you. I do think that's, you know, part of the equation that it does not get talked about enough in the NFL. But we'll see where it goes from here. And what is it? Where do the Dolphins go from here? I mean, that's not how that game was supposed to go.
Well, they have a few days off, which is good. I mean, you know, when you look at it, that this team should have been shut out for the third time last night, not the second time, because the Jets game, the first time around in New York, they scored a touchdown in the final play of the game. So this is a team that's offense is dreadful. And, you know, they may have lit it up a little bit with Matt Moore last week against the Jets, but at the same time, it just goes to show you the happiest guy in the room right now is Ryan Tannehill. That Tannehill, nobody can complain about him because Jay Cutler wasn't the answer. Matt Moore's not the answer. No one else out there is the answer. That when Tannehill comes back next year, that he's the guy. And granted, I'm not going to give you the whole, oh, it was Thursday night game on the road, they had to travel. But for some reason, they've had problems with the Ravens over the years. The Ravens blew them out last year in Baltimore. I think it's now 2-8 the last 10 against Baltimore over the last maybe 12 years or so. They just have problems with this team for some reason. And you had to think that Baltimore, coming off the two straight losses, that they were going to come back and play well. And, look, Devontae Parker's hurt. Jay Ajayi hasn't done anything really the last 2 weeks. The quarterback play isn't good. And you know what's funny, Soren? The defense really wasn't that bad last night when you look at it. You had 40 points, but you had two pick sixes. There was the touchdown at the end of the fumble recovery in the end zone after a couple personal foul penalties when the game was kind of out of hand. Baltimore didn't even have 300 yards of offense last night. So, really, the defense wasn't that bad. The score was misleading, but the offense was terrible.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Jimbo Fisher getting into it with a fan. I mean, he's had a great run there at Florida State. They're not having a good year. We know he lost his quarterback against Alabama, but they're falling well below expectations. Is the seat hot there? Is he making it hot by getting into it with a fan?
I'm sure there's a lot of frustration with Jimbo, definitely, with the way things have gone. You know, you go into that Alabama game thinking, all right, we win this. We have a shot at the Final Four. You'll lose it. You'll lose your quarterback, and now the season goes to hell in a handbasket, you know, that fast. And, yeah, I'm sure the emotions are getting to Jimbo. I don't think Jimbo's seat is hot at all. You know, this guy ended up staying at Florida State. He could have gone to LSU, and he stayed here. He lost his quarterback. And we understand that in college football, Alabama is okay if they lose their quarterback. Other teams can lose their quarterback and still be fine. But unfortunately, they threw in a guy that was playing high school football last year and just wasn't ready for the limelight. He just wasn't. And, you know, the season would be different with Francois in there. But also at the same time, when you look at it, Seren, who they lost to? Alabama, elite team. NC State, who has one loss. They get tripped up at home by Louisville. We know Louisville's a bit up and down. You know, they have losses to teams right now that, you know, are pretty good. And also, you know, losing to Miami at the end. Miami's undefeated. So, you know, really, they're not losing to bad teams. They play Boston College tonight. Boston College has improved. They've won the last 2 weeks. You know, you should win that game. But, you know, this team has had every – I feel like they've had just every break go against them this year.
Yeah, it's not been the kind of season they wanted, that's for sure. We'll see if we find out a little bit more about Miami this week. I love how the Canes, you know, four picks they get in the first half, and then they're 20-19 in the fourth quarter. I've got an AP vote this year, and I just can't get that you know, confident about Miami. So we'll see how they press on, and those two will eventually meet. Tell me about the Derek Jeter-led Florida Marlins. Out goes Jeff Conine. How has that met, as he's kind of like Mr. Marlin?
Well, it was Conine, it was Andre Dawson, it was Jack McKeon, and there was one other name that is slipping my mind right now. It just seems like Derek Jeter and this new regime is out with the old and with the new. And, you know, it's funny that David Sampson, the former president of the team, who was with Jeffrey Loria for a long time, that Derek Jeter told David Sampson, "You're fired, but also, can you fire these guys too along the way?" which was a little bit messed up. But, you know, it really seems like they want to go in a different direction. They want to slash some payroll. What I find interesting, though, with Joe Girardi now being gone to New York, do the Yankees go after Don Mattingly maybe? Does that shake things up a little bit? You know, is Don Mattingly safe as the manager of the Marlins? I don't know what his relationship is with Derek Jeter necessarily, but that kind of opens up a door that you didn't really expect, especially with the way the Yankees got all the way to Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. So, you know, there's that connection there, but I think they just want to cut payroll, probably start over again. I don't know what the status is of Giancarlo Stanton and what they're going to do with him moving forward. That's a big contract that Jeffrey Loria signed him to. But the Marlins and this new regime definitely trying to make a name for themselves now moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and we'll see. The Giants, the leading contender, supposedly, to get Giancarlo Stanton in a trade. We'll watch that this whole offseason. Kevin Rogers in Miami, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, too, Seren. Thank you.